On a cold morning in 1989, this 10-year-old boy woke up with an itch for money and baseball cards that he just had to scratch. This fateful morning about 30 years ago is what came to mind as I was reflecting on our first reading and today's gospel reading about the rich young man. Our first reading talks about how King Solomon pursued wisdom instead of wealth. Well, King Solomon, I was not. Instead of being wise, I made the stupid mistake of asking my older brother Pat and younger brother Steve what I could do to make some money so I could buy some more baseball cards. I probably thought they would ask me to make their bed or clean up their room. Instead, my brothers came up with this game plan. They told me they would give me $3 if I stripped down to my tidy whities and made a long run into the winter wonderland of our backyard. Blinded by the dollar signs in my eyes, I looked at what my brothers proposed and decided it was a good idea. So off came my clothes. Then I swung open the door to our upstairs deck in hopes I could escape without my mom seeing me. And I started my polar bear run. The first 10 steps with my feet hitting the frigid snow were rough. But then my feet started to feel numb and the adrenaline kicked in. I found my stride, and before I knew it, I was 100 yards away from the house and turning back to head back to the house. As I started to run back to the house, I began to hear the faint sound of our Labrador retriever coming up quickly behind me. Immediately, my running went from a fast jog to the fastest sprint my skinny little body could handle. Even though I was running as fast as I could, I heard our dog gaining on me. I was about halfway back to the house when I turned around to see where our dog was at. Then our dog leaped into the air with his paws outstretched for my shoulders and his back aimed for my upper back. And bam, he tackled me like a football player here at UT would be very proud of. And my body slammed into the frigid snow. Now I knew our dog, our male dog, was overly friendly and I needed to get up quickly or I would be there for a while. So I managed to get up and run the remaining distance to our door. I was greeted by our brother's roarous laughter, but then I was soon holding that $3 in my hand, and it soothed my red skin and tingling toes. But before long, I decided that the $3 just wasn't enough. That's the way greed works, isn't it? No matter how much we have, it's never enough. When we ask how much is enough, the answer is always more, more, more. So I stupidly asked my brothers what else I could do to make some more money. They told me they would give me $2 more if I stuck my head in the toilet and flushed it. I decided the risk of losing my dignity was worth the $2. So I proceeded to give myself a swirly. After the deed was done, my brothers spilled the beans to my mom, and soon my dad got home and told me, "Justin, we need to have a talk." My dad told me that he didn't want me to stupidly pursue wealth in the pursuit of money and possessions, so he made me give the $5 back to my brothers, making this the best free entertainment my brothers have ever had in their lives. When Jesus told the rich young man to give away all that he had, the rich young man went away sad. Man, do I know that feeling. Giving the $5 to my brothers was tough, but poverty isn't the saddest thing in the world. It is the loss of dignity. I think the message my dad was trying to communicate to me is the same message God is trying to communicate to us in these two readings today. Don't be stupid in pursuing wealth and possessions and in trying to hold on to them. When it comes to wealth and possessions, it seems like the more we have, the harder it is to let go. This painful truth about losing money is known by those of us who have lost a large sum of money, whether it be in a business venture, while gambling, or in the stock market. This painful truth about losing possessions we've accumulated is known by those of us who've had to get rid of a large amount of possessions when moving to a new home or when trying to clean up the basement or attic of the home that we currently live in. After Jesus tells this rich young man to give away his possessions. The last we hear about this rich young man is that he went away sad. So we don't know how he spent the rest of his life. For all we know, maybe later in his life, he gave away some or all of his possessions and followed Jesus. While I can only speculate about the rich young man and how he spent the rest of his life, I do know the ending of the story of the not-so-rich young man and his baseball cards. A few weeks ago, I was sitting in this chair, and directly across from me, I was looking up the tapestry of St. Francis of Assisi. And this is one of those times where I felt like the great deacon of the church was looking at me. And in that moment, the idea popped in my head to go in the attic, get my baseball card collection, sell it, and give it to the poor. Much like this great deacon of the church gave up his wealth and possessions to follow Jesus and live a life without possessions and in poverty. So I went in my attic, got the baseball cards, and quickly contacted a couple baseball card places that buy baseball card collections, only to find out that my baseball card collection was worthless. I've been holding on to these possessions for 30 years that were worth nothing. Like my baseball cards, whatever our possessions are, in the end, they're all worthless. Whatever we have, we can't take our wealth and possessions with us. Jesus doesn't want us being stuck clinging to possessions that are worthless. Instead, he wants us to pursue and invest in those people and activities that will provide a good return on investment in the long run. While this world tries to tell us what counts, it is Jesus who knows what really matters in the end. For those of us who have some wealth and possessions, the poor may need us to be able to get out of poverty. But Jesus wants us to realize that we may need the poor to live lives of value in this world and the next. Jesus says, "Go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When it comes to giving to the poor, Jesus also tells us that whatever we have done for the least of his brothers, we have done for Jesus. That means when we give to the poor, we are also investing in the poor and in investing in Jesus. When we do what Jesus wants us to do with the gifts we have been given and give them to the poor, Jesus does more than just double or triple the investment that we've made in the poor and in him. Listen again to what Jesus says. "There is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." 100 times. Not a bad return on investment, huh? So when we invest in the poor, we are investing in Jesus, and we are also investing in him and in our own lives today on this earth and eternally in heaven. When we let go of our wealth and possessions, what we find is life. We discover this life when we see our worth through the eyes of Jesus. This is different than our net worth in the world's eyes. Our net worth in the world's eyes counts the value of baseball cards. Our net worth in the world's eyes counts things like the profits a financial planner makes on selling a bad investment to a client. But the Jesus economy works different. The Jesus economy focuses on what matters in the end. Our net worth in Jesus' eyes is not determined by the wealth and possessions we've accumulated. Instead, our net worth in Jesus' eyes is determined by what we have invested in the least of his brothers and sisters and in Jesus. Our net worth in Jesus' eyes looks at the quality of the education we provided to the poor child with the money we donated through our tithe last week to Central City Ministries. Our net worth in Jesus' eyes looks at the fullness of the bellies of the homeless gathered at Tent City that we feed next weekend. Our net worth in Jesus' eyes looks at the courage we demonstrated by standing up for the rights of the poor and oppressed, like our newest saint, St. Oscar Romero. When we give to the poor and to Jesus in this way, Jesus will provide us with a return on investment that is 100 times better with the relationships we have, with the places we feel at home, with the lands we visit, and with the experiences we have that we otherwise would not have had. This is true in both in this life today and for our next life. So brothers and sisters, we are reminded today that God requires a response from each of us on how we are going to live the rest of our lives. Will we spend the rest of our lives playing the young person's game of stupidly pursuing wealth and possessions and be stuck in the end sadly clinging to these things that are worthless? Or will we instead be those who grow up living the rest of our lives pursuing God's wisdom and having all good things come to us with this wisdom? The choice is each of ours to make.